like many folks, I think that sometimes end up in HR. It was a bit of an accident, perhaps, I guess. Mm-hmm. I for most of my life or the early part of my career, I thought I wanted to be in sales. My father and brother had been in sales, and so that's what I pursued. And mm-hmm. there was a point in time that I realized that not only did I not like sales, I wasn't that good at it either.
Welcome to the Meaningful Jobs Podcast Season 3. I'm your host, Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to welcome Greg Muccio, who is from Southwest Airlines and is the head of talent acquisition. So how are you doing, Greg? Hope you're doing well.
Adrian, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So, before we dive deeper into what it's like working for Southwest Airlines, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you ended up being in HR and, being the head of talent acquisition at a top airline company?
Yeah, thanks. Like many folks, I think that sometimes end up in HR. It was a bit of an accident, perhaps, I guess. Mm-hmm. I for most of my life or the early part of my career, I thought I wanted to be in sales. My father and brother had been in sales, and so that's what I pursued. And mm-hmm. there was a point in time that I realized that not only did I not like sales, I wasn't that good at it either. But I was blessed at that point in time to be at a staffing agency, and they were interested in transitioning me into kind of a recruiter role. And so I was able mm-hmm. to do that for a couple of years, and then came to Southwest literally 22 years ago. On the 27th of this month. And so I started out as a recruiter mm-hmm. and just worked my way up, taking on responsibilities and leadership roles. And I've been in my current role as the head of TA for, 3, 4, 5 years now. It kind of runs together, mm-hmm. I think. So, yeah.
It's interesting that you said it's kind of an accident that you got into HR, because I don't think a lot of people growing up would say, I want to dream to become a recruiter, right? So and I guess for you personally, you tried to have a career in sales, but then you switched to recruitment, which I guess there are some similarities, right, between the two.
I was a marketing major in college, and mm-hmm. yeah, there's a lot of crossover, and especially I know we'll get into it today, but you really you see so much similarity in what you're trying to do from a candidate experience, a candidate recruiting experience, mm-hmm. to what a company would do for a customer as well. And then at a place like Southwest, it's very unique because we are a consumer facing brand, and that brand and our employer brand really mesh well together.
So, being the head of talent acquisition, obviously you oversee the entire recruitment process at Southwest Airlines. How demanding is your role, and can you tell us a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's really demanding, as you can imagine. The airline industry is frankly a really tough industry. It's heavily mm-hmm. regulated. It's really competitive, and like many other industries, from kind of the hospitality space, really took a hit during the pandemic. And yeah. So building back up from that has been really, really challenging. Airlines are fairly labor intensive, right? I mean, when you fly and go through the airport, I mean, there are people that you are going to see and that work for the airline. So just, it is very, very demanding to make sure that we are staffed properly, not only for Southwest, especially not only for in the quantity that we need, right, but also that it's a quality hire, that those individuals that we're hiring represent our brand accordingly.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because the pandemic affected every airline and many other industries as well. So how have you guys how did you guys get out of the hole, basically?
I think we were one of the first ones to actually be back to kind of pre-pandemic staffing level, and then we've kind of kept it going. And just recently, we were able to kind of present to the executives that our staffing for winter ops coming was where we wanted it to be, and according to plan. So that part's great. I will tell you that some of what we did actually was, even though we weren't hiring in the pandemic and all that we were going through, we kept thinking about, well, we're going to get out of this at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And so what's that look like? And one of our contingencies was, well, as quickly as we had to stop hiring because of all that was happening, we could actually have to start up just as fast. And that as actually what did happen. And so it's been that. And then it's been a really, I've got an amazing team who is gritty and creative. And so it's taken every piece of that. And then it's really taken a lot of agility, Adrian, because just the candidate market is like something none of us have ever seen before. Mm. And so just that ability to continue to pivot and figure out what works, what doesn't work quickly, has been really important for us.
Yeah, I think the strange thing about the candidate market nowadays is that the economy doesn't seem doing too well, but the job numbers are really high. And yet, I mean, like job opening numbers are really high.
Right.
Yet a lot of employers report they couldn't find the right talent.
Right.
So, you know, how do you explain this disconnect?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think, you know, what the pandemic accelerated a problem that was coming, which was, you know, you literally did not have enough people to do the jobs. And then you had the boomers that were leaving, right? And we all knew that was coming. Well, the pandemic had the boomers leaving at a much faster pace, right? So just in the US alone, we lost around 4.5 million people in the labor market when the pandemic hit. And they've never come back. Now we've grown it back because of other things, but you just have had people that have said, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to work full time. I'm doing gigs, whatever it may be. And so, I think it's truly, when we say it's a labor shortage, it truly is that. It is people willing to do, or just even able to go do the work and the jobs that are available.
Mm. So, you know, you just mentioned about, you know, how demanding your role is. If you could pick, you know, one challenge, what would that be, like the biggest challenge?
I think it's you really have to keep everybody well informed of what's going on. And so for me, you know, that's my leaders, that's my team, that's executives, that's our partners that help us with everything. And it takes all of us to kind of get this done. And the challenge has really been, especially post-pandemic, is that everything is so different that you're having to really educate a lot of individuals inside your organization. Here's what's going on and why this looks very different than what it did 3 years ago. And it takes a while. And especially, you know, for us here at Southwest, we've got a great employer brand. It's a great place to work. And I think sometimes folks, when I'm talking to them, like, I'm not saying that it's not anymore. It's just, it's a very tough labor market.
Yeah.
And so we have to go fight for that talent just like anybody else does.
Yeah. So talking about, you know, fighting for talent, how do you make Southwest Airlines stand out as a brand compared to other airlines?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think one of the things that helps us a lot is that we do have a lot of history from that, right? We're 52, you know, we've been in existence for 52 years, Adrian, in those 52 years, right? I've been here for 22 of the years. Of the 22 years that I have been here, I've been through 9/11. Mm-hmm. I've been through about 7, you know, recessions. I've been through the pandemic and many other things. And at no point in time during those 22 years have we had any furloughs. Have we made anyone take pay cuts? And I think there's a lot to that. It's not super sexy and flashy that maybe some folks do, but I think when you can look at somebody and go, yeah, we get paid on the 5th and the 20th of every month. And for 22 years, that's never been something that I've had to worry about. And I think it, you know, and that's, and we've never actually had layoffs or furloughs in our entire history. And I, that's unheard of, I think, really across the board, but it's really a remarkable feat in the airline industry. And I think that's one of the pieces that really, really stands out. And then I do think we have a very special culture. And so part of it is making sure that in every way we can, that we share those things with potential candidates that are out there.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, getting paid twice, everybody would like that, you know, every month. But, you know, aside from, you know, the paycheck, obviously a lot of candidates nowadays, especially the younger generation, like the Gen Zs, they don't just care about money, but they care about the values of a company and how their work can contribute to their community. So, you know, how does Southwest, you know, Airlines do this?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think we're very, we've got a set of values that what we will tell somebody is, you know, we're not going to compromise on those. That's sort of the price of admission when you come to work here, that that's, you know, how you're expected to perform within that. And so we're really transparent about that piece. We do a ton in the community, give back so much of what we do actually in the communities that we serve is actually employee generated, right? And I'll give you two examples. I think, you know, one of the things is, right, we fly to all these places. So we're headquartered in Dallas. We don't want to just be like, oh, Dallas is our home and that's where we're good in the community. Every city that we fly to, we want to feel like we're the home carrier, right? Like that's it. So we will treat each and every community like that. But one of the neat things that I think is really cool that we do, we have this program called Tickets for Time. And so you, if you work, if you support any 401, KC, charitable organization, right? Mm-hmm. You go list them and, you know, their paperwork, and then you log your volunteer hours with them. And at every time you hit 40 hours, that organization gets basically a round trip ticket on Southwest. And where that works for a lot of charity organizations is then they can, that a lot of times they may auction that off, right? And right. So they could do a fundraiser or some sort of auction type of event that allows them to raise even more money. And like I said, once again, what's great is I can, you know, I could do what's important to me. You could do what's important to you, that sort of thing. So I think that's just a really, really neat thing that we offer here for everybody.
Wow, I think that's a great perk. You know, who doesn't love, you know, helping charity, I think. And I think you also said about, the tough labor market. So I'm interested in learning about how you select candidates. So let's say if I were somebody who wants to work for Southwest Airlines, what are the qualities that I need?
Yeah, no, it's a good one. I think, you know, I will tell you a couple of the ones that really, really kind of jump out. I think it's very much a team sport here at Southwest. And so, you know, I always like to tell people it's the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the one on the back, right? So so humility is a really huge thing that we look for, right? And just that teamwork piece of it is really, really large. I think we'll take that and that piece of the fit over talent every day of the week, because I think there's a lot of things that we certainly believe in and a lot of our roles that we feel like we can train somebody to do that. What we can't train them necessarily is in their attitude and those particular pieces. So I think those are some of the ones that really, really kind of jump out to me is, when my team's looking at somebody for a frontline, a customer facing role is, hey, are they hospitable? Are they going to take great care of our customers? Right. So that's first and foremost in that. And then, you know, how are they from a team performance? I think we constantly will look at those two things sort of first, as sort of, as I said, you know, the price of admission, if you will. And then we'll dive into that person's skill set and how it relates to the particular job that they're looking for. But oftentimes, when we get those first two right, we may be talking to you about a role that's just not the right fit. You may not feel at the end of the day that it's a right fit, or you know, maybe we're looking for different qualifications. But if we feel good about those first two, then part of the conversation is, hey, let's figure out where a good spot for you is, right? What matches, you know, things that you want to do and where you are at this point in your career.
So, you know, aside from money, aside from, you know, charitable causes, so if, let's say if you meet a candidate, how would you convince them to work for your company?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the financial pieces, I will tell you, are way beyond just the paycheck, right? We, you know, for example, we have a dollar for dollar 9.3% matching for 401k. I do not know anybody that has a bigger, you know, than that. So huge things like that. Our you know, health and wellness program is really, really well. We have profit sharing. So you have a lot of other long-term financial pieces that are there that I think are really, really important. I think the culture, I think, you know, being able to go, you know, I think being able to work for a place that has a purpose, I think is really important. And I believe we do have a purpose here at Southwest, which I think is really, really important. And then there's some fun things too, right? I mean, you know, as an employee, you get to fly for free on us. Your family does as well. So your parents, your significant other would be able to fly. And then if you have, I think it's dependent children up to the age of 26, I think is where it is. They can all fly
children
us.
Up to 26. Yeah, not children so, anymore when they're 26.
I know, right? Yeah. you kind of want them off your payroll at that point in time. Yeah. But yeah, I think we're, I think it's either 24 or 26. It's one of those two. But, but yeah, it's really great. I know personally we've, you know, my family, we've been able to take many a great trips, and the hard part is it does spoil you a little bit. So,
you know, in terms of your own work, so how do you find meaning in the work you do aside from a paycheck, you would say?
Yeah, and I think mine's it's different because I think there's a big picture, right, of what TA does, and so there's that piece, which is okay, we're the mission, you know, of Southwest and supporting that, which is to you know, connect people to what's important in their life, right? So, you know, that's what we want to be able to do by providing, you know, a low cost and, you know, airfare, as well as a, you know, hospitable, you know, experience and take care of you. So there's that piece, right? Well, you know, our mission TA realizes, wow, in order to keep this going, there's a value in keeping the organization staffed. And there's, you know, part of my job is making sure my team sees the vision of that, right? And that could be in any particular situation. It could be as simple as, oh, wow, you know, if when we hire the right kind of person on your team, that means you have better work-life balance, right? So there's just, it's as personal as that to, wow, when we do this and we're staffed well with great people, we're able to then provide the best product that we can to our customers, and it has, you know, all the rewards to that. So I think there's that meaning for me personally. It's really about my team then, right? It's about me making sure that that I'm giving them every opportunity to excel at what they want to excel at, to be the best they can be at their craft, and then also to be able to grow their career over time. So that's a big thing for me is, you know, on a day in and day basis is, you know, am I setting up the my team for success? Am I helping get them develop? Am I allowing them the freedom to come up with creative ideas and go get them done? And if I'm doing that, then all the other things kind of begin to take care of themselves.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in the creativity part because, you know, with the rise of AI, a lot of people are saying that it could potentially change the way we work in that it could take away all the mundane tasks that we have to do and free up the more creative aspects. So, you know, how do you do that in Southwest Airlines at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer. We really want to be both high tech and high touch. That's personally what I think is the right approach. Not everybody can do it. Not everyone can agree with that. But yeah, we want to use AI and automation up to a point. I still think my team can out recruit any robot out there any day of the week, any time, any place. So that's really important that we have that. But yeah, if there are opportunities to use automation that allows us to have more high touch moments, I think that that's really important, as well as creating opportunity for candidates to self-serve, right? You know, themselves. And so, for example, right? I mean, recruiting today or talent acquisition today, I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 day thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so no company can be staffed to have, you know, a human being to interact. And so that's why we have a lot of our things so that, you know, you as a candidate, when you're free and able to maybe connect with us or learn more about it, that we have the resources available to you. But even the ability where, you know, you could, you know, say you're going through the hiring process where, you know, you may be able to do a one-way interview on your own time to, like, you know, give us that intro about, you know, what's Adrian about. And then, you know, having automation from a self-scheduling perspective so you can schedule that. So once again, you know, you and my recruiters are not playing phone tag or email tag or anything like that. That part gets done. So I think that's where the value is. And then, yeah, you free up the opportunity for more, you know, more high value action items.
So, you know, moving on to the final part of the interview, I'd like to ask, you know, some questions about, you know, career advice.
Yeah.
So everybody has challenges in their lives, especially their careers. Could you tell us what your biggest challenge you had in your career so far and how you navigated through it?
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, I'll give you two. I had a period of time when the economy wasn't so good that I was unemployed. I was unemployed for 9 months. And yeah, it's, you can get discouraged, you can get frustrated, you can self-doubt and all those kind of things. And that's really, really hard. And so, you know, the wiser version of me is like, wow, what would I tell that person? And, you know, how would I encourage them? And, one of the things that I would always say is if you find yourself in that situation, you know, I would say, you know, don't worry about finding your dream job, get back to work, you know, get to work just in doing anything. And that's what's really cool, I think, now with some of the gig type of stuff is folks can do that. But I think that that's not so that necessarily that you show that you have something on your resume or whatever, you don't have this employment gap, but more so for yourself mentally, because there's something that feels good about that. And then you just, and if you've got income coming in, then you're not, you have then an opportunity to maybe be more selective for that never spot. So I think that's one. And then at Southwest, early in my career, you know, I interviewed 7 or 8 times from when I was a recruiter to be the next, you know, supervisor, team leader role, and did not get the job.
Wow. And, 7 to 8 so, times.
Yeah. Something like that. And, but now here I am in the role that I am today. And so, I think there was, ample opportunity during that time for me to quit, give up, go someplace else, be angry and frustrated. And, you know, I did probably, you know, that with the exception of leaving, I did go through, you know, all of those kind of emotions. But I think I got some really good advice and you know, piece of it was, you know, frankly, just owning the part that I could own, right? And making sure that how I showed up on a day-to-day basis was what needed to be. And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't surprising that when I made that pivot that, you know, oh, I got the first one, then, you know, on and on and on to, you know, being able to be kind of in the role that I'm in.
Yeah, I was going to ask because, you know, being in such a high position, you've got to go through the grill, you know, every day. You've got to show up at work and have multitudes of tasks to complete. How do you manage not to burn yourself out and to stay motivated every day?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And yeah, I think, you know, I truly believe the key to success, and this is not, I think this has been since the beginning of time, and I don't think it'll ever change, is, you know, you got to show up and you got to do the work. And there's just no substitution for that. And that will always, that work ethic, that drive, that peace will always be intelligence and talent every day of the week. So I think that that's a big thing. And so, yeah, it's some of it's how I'm wired. And but some of it is, yeah, as you know, as I've gone through my career and you know, wanted something more or different or whatever it is, you know, that's sort of the price, right? I don't think you cannot do those things and then expect to get, you know, a higher pay, you can't expect to get the pay recognition or advancement of somebody that's willing to do those things. It's just not going to happen. So
lastly, you know, for people who might be struggling in their careers, what would your advice be to them? Like, how should they find a better career for themselves? Should they switch jobs? Like, how would you advise these people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the truth is, you know, when you work, I mean, that consumes a huge part of your life, right? When you knock out sleeping and eating or whatever, like the majority of your life is then spent at work, right? And so I think that in order to do that, then what you have to really make sure is that you do something that, you know, and we mentioned it for it, that has meaning to you, right? I think it's a really kind of careful mix, right? Because you could be passionate about something, but not be good at it.
Yeah.
That's probably not going, at the end of the day, that's not going to probably work for you. But I do think that's, you know, I think being able to think through, okay, what are the things that I am good at? What are the things that when I finish a type of task or multiple tasks or do whatever, I feel a sense of, wow, I feel good about myself. I feel like I've done something well, I'm proud of that. And I feel like I've made a contribution. And I think if you begin to think of that, I think there are plenty of jobs or places to work that you can do that right now. There is no job that doesn't have the mundane or doesn't have the stuff that's like, I don't feel like doing that today, but you have to go do that. Right. But at the end of the day, if you're working for an organization and doing things that you feel a sense of accomplishment when you get done with it, then you're going to be happy in your work. And I think where people make the mistake is they either chase a title or money sometimes. And while those are both nice, they will wear out eventually if you are doing something. If you're doing something that you don't like doing, or you're doing something for someone or an organization that you don't like working for, eventually those things will not provide you the meaning you want anymore. Mm.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you, Greg, on my podcast, and you know, wish you all the best and hope you continue to stay motivated in your job.
I will do so. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.